Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here in your name and in your church. And Lord, we realize today that as we are here, we are under your authority and power. And Lord, we just place ourselves there and ask that you would have your will with our lives. Lord, that your blessing would be upon this service today and that everything would be honored and sanctified and empowered by you and by your Holy Spirit. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob Shackleton's coming to lead us in worship this morning. Let's enter in.
Good morning. Turn to hymn number 69. Number 69, take the name of Jesus with you. As Pastor has mentioned, we've got a lot going this morning. We have some very special music. We have communion. And we don't want to do anything to bother the sermon, so we'll move right on. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and the Lord. It will joy and forgive you, pain and temporary law. Precious name, for us free, both for earth and for our heaven. Precious name, for us free.
rock in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm.
We sing this one and we'll sing a few more choruses. Like I said, we're going to be moving on just a little bit earlier than usual. I love you, Lord.
Thank you.
thought as you sing it.
Here.
here. He's promised to be in our midst where two or three are gathered together in His name. Reach out, touch Him, feel His presence. Know the reality of Jesus.
Let's sing it again. If you have a need today, reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by, as the song says. You know, when you reach out to touch the Lord, He reaches back to touch you. And I believe that He is here as well. He walks these aisles. He goes in and out of these pews. You just tell the Lord what you need today. Let Him meet your need. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Reach out to Him as we sing it again. We have a real treat today. If you have not heard Skip play his trumpet before, you are in for a blessing. God bless him as he plays the ministers in song.
1 John 4:7 says that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. So a man by the name of Robert Laurie wrote a hymn. He asked the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
gift. We'll have another number from him later on. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. And also we are going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit passage in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. While you are turning there, let me read these a couple of verses to you. You don't need to look them up. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. We want to begin a short series on the godly home. And Sunday school is kind of a kicker for that this morning. And I guess I will preach that. What we taught in Sunday school class today, there is some interest in getting it taped and having a copy and for others to hear it. So we'll be doing that sometime during this series. But today I want to talk to the wives. It's not too often that I do that. But I want to take the opportunity to do that today. And we're going to look at the wife's orchard. The wife's orchard. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Our theme is going to continue on with husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We are going to deal with the wives part today. They're mentioned first, and we will look at them first. Let's ask God's blessing upon the word this morning. Father, we thank you for godly wives, the wives that we have here today. And Lord, we pray that you would bless each one of them and you would encourage them. And Lord, even speak to their hearts if there's areas that they need to improve on. Lord, I pray that they would protect the orchard that you have given them, that the enemy would not be able to come in and steal their fruit, but they would have fruit for themselves and for their household. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Have you ever seen the film My Fair Lady? Anybody ever seen that? In that film, Professor Higgins gleefully sang, "Why can't a woman be more like a man?" The lyrics are fabulous. Men are so honest, so thoroughly square, and on and on. You see, women don't understand our vocabulary, which is the reason why they misinterpret sometimes the things that we say. For example, if we say, "I'm going fishing," it means I'm going to lie in the sun on a boat all day with a stick in my hand while the fish swim by in complete safety. If we ask our spouse, "Can I help with the dinner?" what we are really saying is, "Why isn't it already on the table?" If we nod and say, "Uh-huh, sure, honey, yes, dear," what we are really saying is absolutely nothing. It's a conditioned response. Am I helping you ladies out there? I hope so. If we say to you as you're cleaning the front room, "Take a break, dear. You're working too hard," it really means I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. And here's one that's really important. If we say, "I can't find it," it means it didn't fall into my outstretched hands, and so I am completely clueless as to where it is. If we respond, "I heard you," we are saying, "I have no idea what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough so you don't find out." Here's one that I have used. In the clothing store, when we say to you, "You look terrific," please understand that we are saying, "Oh, honey, please don't try on any more clothes. And one more. If we're on a trip and say, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are. I'm Rick Rand McNally. What we're really saying is, nobody will ever see us alive again. Yep, men are marvelous people. And I hope that this is helpful in this sense, and so that we can understand each other better. To get us off on the right foot, let's understand each other better. Let's get to the message. God gave Eve a garden and a husband. Wives, today you also have a garden and you have a husband. Your orchard is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. It will take this fruit, love, joy, peace, etc. It will take this fruit to make a marriage work. There must be victory within before there can be victory without. There has to be victory within your spirit before there can be victory outside of you and in your marriage. It's a big, big job to be a wife. You don't automatically become one when the preacher says, I now pronounce you husband and wife. The honeymoon doesn't make you a wife. That is really just the start. That is the beginning. This orchard begins with love. Love. Love is the first fruit in the orchard. Love never fails. There are husbands who have never known what it means to feel loved by their wives. I know that might be an incredible statement, but there are husbands like that. Love has not really entered into the marital relationship because husbands sometimes are so numb with bondage. The chains of finance, education, food, transportation, and all of these expenses have imprisoned some men. And you know what they feel? Some men really feel like this. My wife doesn't care for me, only for what I can provide. In Reader's Digest in this month, August, there was a woman who wrote, my husband refused to learn how to operate a computer. I tried to get him to realize how important it is, since all of our financial records are stored on disk. What if something happens to me? I asked him. You wouldn't know what our assets are. Honey, he replied, if something happened to you, I wouldn't need any money. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way, the way of love. And so, wives, do you love your husbands? The bridegroom says in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 6, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. The delight of fruit, or the delights are the fruit of love. It's fruit. God created women with the ability to love. His design, his pattern of feeling instilled in her, his choice of instincts for her, make her the fountain of love. Ladies, you have a capacity to love that is just incredible. Make sure your husbands know that you love them. Practice this and pick this first fruit in your orchard, the fruit of love, and give it to your husbands and give it to your children. Let them know that your family is loved by you. Then there is joy in this orchard. God certainly meant for women to be joyful. He meant for a wife to be joyful, to radiate, to sparkle. Some women interpret a marriage license as a quarantine notice, as if they had contracted some deadly disease. Make marriage pleasant. Communicate strength. Joy is a source of strength. Do you know that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. When you show joy in your home, your husband and your children receive strength. Joy is a source of strength. Make marriage pleasant. Communicate that strength. Compatibility nurtures health, and joy is good medicine. Elizabeth must have been a joyful wife to her husband. She filled the parsonage with song. Luke chapter 1 and verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Gloom is a virus. You know that spreads too? Your joy can spread. You know that if somebody is down in the dumps, and you come up and you just look at them and you smile, you know that usually that person looks at you. They might not try to at first, but they will smile back. A smile is contagious. Joy is contagious. But gloom is also contagious. It multiplies congestion. It causes inflammation. In Psalm 89 and verse 15, it says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Speaking of countenance, manifest joy in your countenance by coordinating your dress. Don't greet your husband at the door after work with unkempt hair and a runny nose. Meet him like you're excited to see him, that you are joyful that he has returned home from work. Cultivate the fruit of joy. You know what? Sometimes us husbands, we come home and we just kind of walk past everything. We find our favorite easy chair and we kick back. "Oh, honey, I'm just too tired from work to do anything." But I want to try something. Meet him at the door with a joyful smile and a bright countenance and see if that doesn't give your husband some strength and some energy. Joy brings strength. Manifest it. Wives, you'll be surprised what a smile will do. Every frown costs you in your marriage. But a smile will bring pleasant surprises. Determine to make your home a joyful one. And then a joyful home is a peaceful home, which is the next fruit in the orchard. Show me a wife that is a peacemaker, and I'll show you a winner. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The word "thank you" is always in good taste. The word "thank you" is always in good taste. It shows your husband that you appreciate the things that he does for you when you come out with that honey-do list. When he accomplishes something on that list, you say thank you. You will be surprised at what that will do for your husband. Be a peacemaker. Another something that is delicious is long-suffering. Long-suffering, it's a choice fruit. It means to bear and forbear. Can I tell you, ladies, something? You don't get perfection in one package. None of us are perfect. The closest one to being perfect, I think, was Enoch. And Enoch's no longer here. He went home to be with the Lord. So you're not going to get perfection. Don't nag at your husband. Proverbs warns you that the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Practice long suffering. Don't rebuke your husbands. No woman should have that attitude. You know, every time Martha, remember who Martha is in the Bible? Mary and Martha? Mary's the one that worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Martha was the one that was serving. And it's not her serving that bothers me. It's what she said to Jesus. Do you know that every time Martha spoke to Jesus, she was rebuking him? She was such a foolish woman. It seldom helps to give anyone a piece of your mind. You know, how big of a piece will you give? How much will you have left? That kind of thing. But giving a piece of your mind usually results in giving a piece of your tongue as well. Hold your tongue. Be long-suffering. My wife had the opportunity to exercise long-suffering this week on our anniversary. I told some of you this story. She might have told some of you others. But it all started back at the beginning of summer. The propane truck came and he wanted to put propane in our tank. And I quick ran outside and asked him how much it was right now. And he said, "It's 99 cents a gallon." And I thought, this was gas prices are starting to go up and I think it's going to go down in price. I looked at the level of my tank and I said, "I'm going to wait." "Have you filled the church yet?" "You see, I already filled the church." I said, "But I'm going to wait on mine." He says, "Okay, but you better watch it." The morning of our anniversary, my wife got up to take a hot bath. Guess what? It was cold water. No hot water. So I had to call up and order some propane, and they came and they chewed me out and said, "You know, next time this happens, we're going to have to charge you a trip charge. You know, we came all the way from Elk Mound and all this stuff just to do it." I said, "Fine, thank you. I appreciate you doing that." And anyway, she got her hot bath, and we left to go out to eat on our anniversary. And we just passed the Baldwin exit. We were heading to the cities. We're going to go out to eat. And we just bought a different car recently. And I had not let the gas tank get this empty. Really, ladies, it only got down to, I still had a quarter of a tank left. I thought I had plenty. Being the consumer that I am, I thought I could get to the cities and buy gas cheaper. I don't know if that's true or not, but I was hoping to. It is cheaper. I was hoping. I thought I could get there, and I'd been getting about 28 miles to the gallon with this thing, so I figured I'll make it around a quarter of a tank. But I just got past the Baldwin exit, and guess what? Clunk, clunk, clunk. Debbie says, I think we're out of gas. I said, I hope we're out of gas and it's not the fuel pump or something like that. So anyway, we just barely pulled over and a policeman came up behind us. And Debbie says, you know, they can give you tickets for running out of gas on the freeway. Because that's negligence. You're supposed to make sure you have enough gas. So he was very kind, and he took me to the gas station, and all the time I'm wondering, am I going to get a ticket, you know? And I get in, and I fill up with gas, and they said to me, are you going to get a ticket for this? I said, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen with this. And then I was really worried, too, because I had transferred my plates from an older car to this car, and I got back in the car, and he said, when did you buy this car? And I said, about 2 weeks ago. And he said, I see that you must be transferring the plates. And I said, yes. He said, well, it hasn't gone through yet. But don't worry about it. It should happen pretty soon. And I got back in, and we pulled up. And he said, I'll wait for you to fill up your car with gas, and then I'll see you on. And I got in. I filled it up with gas, and I got in. And Debbie waved back, and he waved. And I never got a ticket. But Debbie looked at me and said, you know, you ran out of gas twice today. First with the propane and then with the car. But you know, I am so glad that a wife was long-suffering. It's a choice. I could have blown the whole anniversary. You know, I could have blown the whole thing. But she was long-suffering. There is a fruit called gentleness that doesn't get too much attention these days. For centuries, women have been designated as the gentle sex. All of that is changing, but ladies, gentleness is very important. You can win with gentleness when all else fails. Where Martha was foolish, Esther was wise. Queen Esther, she faced a deadly situation. All of her people were going to be annihilated because of some stupid law that the king had been talked into passing. All of the Jews were to be put to death. But you know, Esther had her weapons of her own. And in chapter 5 and verse 4, Esther said to the king, if it seemed good unto the king, let the king and Haman, who is behind this whole scheme, come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. You know, she could have given Ahasuerus the either-or treatment. Either you change that decree or I'm out of here. Or she could have done something else. Instead, she told him by a soft answer. When he asked what her request was, oh king, I want my life. I want my life and the lives of my people. And the king heard her and answered her request. Esther must have believed Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. She also believed in Proverbs 25:15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Ladies, you can win with gentleness when nothing else works. You are to put on gentleness as clothing. And it worked for this great wife. It worked for Esther. She avoided any rough, incriminating language. She said, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king, ladies, gentleness can make you a winner. Wives, gentleness can make you a winner with your husbands. Goodness is a good fruit. Hurrying on. Ephesians 5, verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. An example of goodness is virtue. Solomon said of such a woman in Proverbs 31, 25 through 28, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. The fruit of faith. The fruit of faith keeps on believing. I love the optimism of our Lord. You know, he said this of the 12 disciples in John 17, 11, and 12. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, as I look at these men, the men that Jesus chose for his disciples, these men were quarrelsome. These men were ignorant. These men were ambitious, but they were selfishly ambitious. These men were unreliable. There was a time when they were fighting over who was the greatest among them. These men, ladies, were probably a lot like your husband. Yet as far as Jesus was concerned, these men were the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus saw something in these men. He saw the potential that these men had, and he had faith in these men. Salt of the earth, light of the world. Wives, you have to keep on believing. You have to keep on believing for your husband. You have to see the good in him. You have to see the potential that is in them. You have to keep the faith. You have to keep on believing. Don't ever give up believing and praying for your husbands. Keep on believing. See them. Yes, sometimes through rose-colored glasses, but see them as they could be, not as they always are. Meekness is a misunderstood fruit. Meekness is yielding my rights. Now, the person who gives in rather than continuing to fight is usually thought of as the weaker person. But in reality, the more spiritually mature person will be the one who yields his rights. We don't understand all that there is to understand about submission. And I know that whenever ladies hear that word, they cringe, submission. But submission is powerful. You know why it's powerful? Because it releases God's power over your authority. When you submit, God's power is released upon the authority in your life. When you don't submit, God's power is withheld. But when you submit, God unleashes his power on that authority in your life. Submission is a dynamic thing to change the heart of your authorities. You know that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. The heart of the Father is in the hand of the Lord. When you submit him to the Lord and yourself to the Lord, as the river of water, he turns that Father's heart whatever direction he wants to turn it. It comes through meekness. It comes through meekness. Please understand what meekness is. It's not weakness. It is strength under authority. Remaining under the authority, God-given authorities of your life. The final fruit is temperance. It's also defined as self-control. Wife, this is your orchard. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. No plaintiff can successfully oppose this combination. Against such there is no law. God gave Eve a garden and a husband. She allowed an intruder to violate that garden. Wives, God has given you a garden and a husband. The devil will do the same to you as he did to Eve if you don't claim that orchard for God. Would you claim that orchard for God? Would you begin to practice this fruit? Would you exercise it in your life? Would you pick that fruit every day? Pick the fruit of love and share it with your husband. Pick the fruit of joy and share it with your husband. Pick the fruit of peace and long-suffering and gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Pick a fruit each day and share it with your husband, and you'll find yourself living in the middle of a godly home. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I want to ask, first of all, if there is somebody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You've never asked Jesus into your heart. You've never asked Him to be your Savior, to cleanse you of your sin, forgive you of your unrighteousness. You've not asked Him yet to be Savior and Lord. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Anybody here, by a raised hand, you would say, Pastor, that's me. I've not received Jesus yet, but I want to receive Him. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, the Scriptures say. Anybody here, by an uplifted hand, Pastor, I want to become a child of God today. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. How many wives, you're here today, and as you honestly look at it, you would say, this is a tough orchard, Pastor. It's really tough. And I would agree with you, even though I'm not a wife today, I would agree with you that it's tough to demonstrate this fruit, to love and to be long-suffering and to show meekness, and on and on. But ladies, you are praying for God's grace today to be able to pick a fruit each day and give it to your husband and to watch your orchard and not let the devil come in and steal the fruit. If you are purposing in your heart to do this today, to keep your orchard and to share it with your husband, would you just raise your hand to God up and then down? Amen. Amen. Father, you see these hands today. We thank you for them. I pray for your grace to be poured out, that each wife might be able to do that. Lord, help them to exercise each one of these fruits: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Lord, that they would realize against such things there is no law, but these things will win where others fail. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Craig is coming to lead the communion service this morning, and Skip has another song he is going to bless us with.
All sin. And a couple songwriters put it this way. They said, there is no sin that can rise above Calvary's love.
Thank you. to have the men come that are going to be passing out the communion. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself." Tim, I would like to ask you if you would stand and pray for all those who are sick among us, and especially remember Bev and anyone else that you may know of. If there's any requests.
Pray this all through here today. We know your presence. We know you can heal. Thank you for healing Bell's father. You know all these requests you've heard. Bless them. You will.
We serve an open communion here. If this is the first time you've ever been here, we just ask that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and that you examine yourselves and you know your own heart. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." George, would you ask blessing upon the bread and body tonight?
Lord, we are just so grateful. You went willingly in our place. Lord, that we could live for you. Died for us. Lord, we just thank you so much as we participate in this communion today, that we are part of your body. And Lord, as we take this bread, it represents taking you into us and the breaking of your body for us. We just thank you for that. We do acknowledge the beautiful gift of life that you've given us.
Amen. Let's partake together. The cup, the new covenant, the shedding of his blood for remission of our sins. Bob, would you ask a blessing upon that cup for us today?
Father, we thank you for this, the cup representing your blood on the cross of Calvary.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you that you shed that blood for the remission of sin, that it blotted out all sin from there on. We thank you for the privilege of accepting that deliverance. Thank you. That you love us, and Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Let's partake of the cup together.
Sing the chorus, "White as Snow."
White as snow, white as snow, though my sins be as scarlet.
Rich Lacey, would you dismiss the service in prayer, please? Good to have you back.
Father, we thank you now for this time of worship. You